Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News is joining us here. Baseball playoffs underway. He will open up a pack of baseball cards and then tweet it out, and I will have my mentions filled with that for the next 3 days. I appreciate his time. Let me ask this question. Big picture about the baseball playoffs. I know it's a short sample size, but the byes don't seem to have benefited by the byes in the 2 years of this format. 2-2 in series last year. It looks right now, at the very least, at best, we're probably looking at 2-2 with both the Dodgers and the Orioles trailing their series 0-2 going on the road. Is there a better way to do this?
Not without blowing things up.
Blowing things up mean?
Expanding the playoffs,
right?
Because look, the truth is baseball is never going to take wild card teams away, right?
They're never
going to shorten the number of playoff teams, and to do that, to get it so that there is not a scenario where there has to be a bye, you have to have either eight teams, right, to make sure everyone's playing in the first round. So that would be adding, a couple wild card spots, and that. I mean, look, we already had two teams get in this year with 84 wins.
Right.
I mean, how much more do we need to go down? But baseball loves the idea that more teams are involved, more fan bases are engaged for a longer time. I get that. And I do like that in a way. But if you're going to, quote unquote, fix the problem, that's probably what it's going to have to do. That's what we'd have to do. But to be honest with you, I don't know that I buy it a whole lot. There have been through baseball history, there have been times where, one team will sweep the LCS and the other team goes seven games and then they face off. And so it turns out where one of those teams has had 4 or 5 days off, 3 or 4 days off. And, sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't. I look at these games and there are reasons that you can see why the Diamondbacks won. There are reasons you can see why the Phillies won that first game and then why they were up so big in that second game. There are reasons that the Rangers went into Baltimore and won two games there. Reasons that aren't because the other team sat around for a couple of days. And I think I don't want to use the word coincidence.
Okay.
But there are other factors that are probably more important than the fact that those teams had a couple days off.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and I've talked to former players about this. Baseball is about rhythm, and these guys are used to playing every day. And you could be 100% right. It could have zero to do, and I allow for that because I'm not bullheaded. I allow for the fact that there could be absolutely no reason for it. It's just circumstance, and that the Rangers just beat the Orioles twice in Baltimore. The truth of the matter is, and people don't want to seem to really acknowledge this anyway most of the time, is that the difference between the best team and the worst team is a lot less than people think in any other sport.
Yeah.
Best team in baseball probably wins 60% of the time. Worst team within reason wins about 40% of the time. So that's really not that big of a spread. And now when we're talking about playoff teams, there's very little separating the two teams. It usually comes down to a pitch. When it's about routine, there is no other scenario apart from an all-star break when teams have 5 days off. And I can't for the life of me think that that's good for those teams, those players. So what if we concentrated, like I'm on a warpath about this, Ryan, and then we'll talk baseball. Why can't we concentrate the wild card? I realize you have to leave Monday free for whatever happens. But if the wild cards, are they going to pile all the wild cards on Tuesday? Why don't we do a doubleheader Tuesday to see if we need Wednesday and then start everything on Thursday?
That's interesting. I haven't heard the doubleheader idea. I do like getting rid of the extra day between them. I think John Smoltz talked about this on the broadcast a couple days ago. Just go straight from the wild cards to the division series.
Yeah.
Make it a day. You'd have to make them all day games, right? Which I know TV doesn't like.
Oh,
that idea.
That's right.
Make them all make them all day games, and then so you're taking out that rest. And then the day of rest, the day off between games one and two of the NL Division Series is ludicrous, because yes, that really hurts. You know, I mean, that has to go away if there's some sort of like competitive element to this. But we all know that TV gets what TV wants, and that's right, the big reason that that's there. But yeah, there should be more reason. I mean, the Phillies, look, it shouldn't be a scenario where they throw their best pitcher, Zach Wheeler, twice in a three-game stretch, right? If you're trying to have...
When he didn't go in game one.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's a scenario where, like, there are ways to fix this without expanding the playoffs massively or doing something along those lines.
Ryan Fagan of Sporting News is joining us. All right, let's talk baseball now. The little things add up to the big things. As I was watching the Braves and Phillies last night, Trey Turner's second error of the game was a lot bigger. When I saw it in real time, I'm like, huh, the Braves just scored a run because of his lack of focus. And I think that matters, because suddenly the Braves just got on the scoreboard when they hadn't any point in that series. Like, again, don't know if it really mattered. I felt like it did. Maybe the Braves felt like it did.
Yeah, and that's what matters, is the Braves, they just needed something. You just need anything. I mean, even sitting there when Wheeler walked Acuna, when Acuna, you know, earned that walk, I thought to myself, you know, sometimes it's the little stuff like that you won't expect. A two-out walk shouldn't be a big problem, but, you know, this Braves team is so dangerous, and, you know, then Albies came up with that line drive, and, you know, Turner tries to backhand that thing, doesn't field it cleanly. Acuna very aggressively, very alertly is watching the play, looking for any sort of way he can take advantage of a tiny mistake, and boom, there it was. He didn't hesitate. He went in and scored. And it's a different game, right? Like, yep, if it was 7-1 or 7-0 at the time, maybe it doesn't matter. But, you know, that Braves team, as we've seen all year, can put up runs quickly. You know, and if you're the Phillies, you were looking at a scenario where you're up 2-0, going back to playing in the best home field advantage in baseball right now. And, you know, Atlanta's great. The crowd there is great, no doubt about it. Phillies at another level right now. So you're looking at going back there up 2-0 with Aaron Nola on the mound. All of a sudden, it's 1-1. Things look a lot different. Mm-hmm. It's a disappointing trip back home. Things change. You know, I mean, they had Atlanta down, and they let them back up. Doesn't matter. Philly's still good enough to win two of these three, take the series, but it's a lot taller task than just having to win one of these last three games.
I got one more thing. It's been such a long time since I have watched a baseball game with interest and dissected strategy. But if you know that you're bringing in a left-handed pitcher, Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News, to pitch to Matt Olson, why is Austin Riley getting, with first base open, why is he getting anything that he can barrel up? Because I thought pitching around, while you don't want to put the go-ahead run on base, I get it, with two outs, right? But you've got first base open, you don't have to give in. Why is there anything that Riley can barrel up? I thought, especially when it got to 3-2, you throw a high fastball. If he chases, okay. If not, you know, ball four. And you're bringing a lefty in to pitch to Olson anyway, which I don't even know if matters. Like, there are left-handed batters where it doesn't matter to bring in a left-handed pitcher. I was curious about that from Robbie Thompson.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the game one game plan and execution for the Phillies was just absolute perfection. The way they, you know, used their staff and their relievers, and knowing they had the off day following that up so everybody could be healthy and ready to go, it was brilliant. That was a move that, you know, I think at some point, though, you're looking at that Braves lineup,
yeah,
and you're just thinking,
they're going to get you.
It never ends. Like, at some point, you have to pitch to somebody, right? So challenge with what you feel is the best. But, I mean, that's why Atlanta's so dangerous,
yeah,
right? Like, you have to pick your poison, and the poison is going to get you sooner or later. Right, and I think that's just kind of what happened there.
It's true. Look, again, this a lot of this is going to sound like hindsight, but I realize when I'm watching the game on YouTube at home, right, YouTube TV, I'm a little behind, so I don't want to seem like I'm – so anyway, I'm not live tweeting a game like that anymore anyway. But that the thing that stuck in my head is like, you don't have to pitch to him. You don't have to give in to him here. You have the base open, even though you don't want to give up. You don't want to put the go-ahead run on base for free. The Dodgers starting pitching doesn't look like the Dodgers starting pitching. Clayton Kershaw got absolutely destroyed in game one. Their starters have given up, I believe, 9 runs in the first inning of their 0-2 deficit. How does that get better? Hey, it can't get worse, I guess.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
I'm not sure it does. You know, I mean, I think when you looked at the Dodgers, and I feel like this is the case with the Dodgers for the past 5 or 6 years. Okay, they're going to be in the postseason. Just wake me up when we get there and tell me what the rotation looks like. And then I'll tell you whether they have a chance to go deep into October. And this year, the rotation didn't look good.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because of some of the injuries and other issues they've had. They had Clayton Kershaw, who was healthy as he's been in any October in recent memory. He was really good down the stretch, a 2.23 ERA in August and September. They were carefully working him. He was getting 5 to 6, 7 days off between every start. And then they had him, and then they weren't sure, right? A bunch of young kids who throw the ball really hard, have great stuff, but just haven't been on that stage. And when Kershaw got lit up like that, and then they had to go to Bobby Miller, and, you know, Bobby Miller has the type of stuff. I remember the first time I watched Bobby Miller on TV was in spring training a couple of years. He was wearing like number 97 or something, and he blew a fastball by Shohei Ohtani. And I tweeted out, the Dodgers are so deep, they have guys wearing 90s striking out Shohei Ohtani. And a bunch of Dodgers fans were like, that's Bobby Miller. He's going to be amazing, right? So he can be that guy. He was not in that first inning, and he didn't make it out of the second inning. And now the Dodgers are in trouble. I mean, their season basically is relying on Lance Lynn.
Amazing.
He's been very hit and miss in his time with the Dodgers. I mean, you feel better as a veteran guy that maybe he's ready to step up to that challenge. But, yeah, it is not a good situation for the Dodgers right now.
Ryan Fagan, before we say goodbye, it feels like to me that Lance Lynn was old 10 years ago. But I could be wrong about maybe there's another Lance Lynn for all I know. All right, real quick, Astros and Twins today, Rangers at home to the Orioles. Look, I've already talked to Orioles fans that believe that, well, you know, it was fun while it lasted, and that's fair. I hope they'll be around for a long time. But that Astros-Twins series to me, like that seems a lot more even than I think most people think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Minnesota is a really good team. you know, I mean, everybody kind of forgot about them because they went into the postseason with the fewest wins of any division winner. But, I mean, that's because they started out pretty slow this season.
Yep.
You look at the records in the second half in the last couple months of the season, they're right up there. Not the best record in the AL, but they're right up there in that conversation. And you look at that rotation. We've seen what Pablo Lopez can do. We've seen Sonny Gray. They've got five guys who could legitimately start a playoff game, and you feel pretty good about it. So then you put some of the other guys back in the bullpen, and you have a lineup that, you know, Royce Lewis has been arguably my favorite story coming out of the postseason so far. You know, a high pick who's had issues with injuries and whatnot coming in and just looking like he's going to be a future all-star MVP candidate if he stays healthy. Now, the Twins are legit. They're like, I look at these teams that are in the American League, the four teams that are left, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Minnesota representing the AL in the World Series.
No, it wouldn't either. Ryan Fagan, Sporting News, at Ryan Fagan on Twitter. I appreciate your time, my friend. Go open up a pack of baseball cards and talk to you soon.
Oh, enjoy it, Adam. Thanks.